It is such an honor to be here. I thank my mom and dad, thank pastors for trusting us. Amen. You know, this is you all are just precious fruit. You know, it's like y'all are there, you know, y'all are right there, you know, you're right there with them in their hearts. So we minister with great responsibility and great joy as well. So I'm just so thankful for them as they are getting some good rest. Amen. Getting some good rest in this anniversary week in and week. They deserve it. Amen. Yeah, they deserve it. Amen. So we just say that they are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. They are refreshed. Times are refreshing. Times of fellowship as well. I'm not sure, you know, Pastor Debbie go shopping. I'm not sure what would Pastor Debbie doing. I don't know. He's not. But praise God. It is such an honor, such a joy. So, praise the Lord. Well, I have, it was interesting. as we, see how to start this here. Do you know who your God is? Do you know who your God is? Do you know that he is the Lord Jehovah? Do you know that he is the Most High God? He is the El Shaddai, the Almighty God himself, the everlasting God. He is the God of eternity, the God of the universe, the God of ancient days. Do you know that he is Jehovah Rapha? That he is your healer? Do you know that he is Jehovah Jireh? He looked ahead and provided for you. Do you know that he is your intercessor? That do you know that he went ahead and fought your battles for you? Do you know that he is the captain of your salvation? Hallelujah. Oh my gosh, do you know that he is your redeemer? He is your rock. He is your restorer. Oh my God, he is your fortress. He is your strength. He is your redeemer. He is your love. He is your joy. He is your all in all. I love how Moses asked, so what do I say, Lord? What do I call? You know, and he just said, you know what? Just say, I am the I am. I am the I am. I am the I am. He is the mighty God, the Father of eternity. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Rock of Ages, the Crown of Glory and Beauty. He is the Tried Stone. He is the King in His beauty. Yes, He is my leader. He is my everlasting God. He is glorious. He is the Holy One. He is my portion, my maker, my husband, my wife, my rest and my feeder. God, the God that we serve is such a multifaceted God. And there's so much, which is why it's just like a lifetime of just fellowship and spending time with him that will take to actually get to know all of who God is. I mean, it's, oh my gosh. I mean, every time you get a fresh, like, glimpse of, oh, this is you, God. Even if, I know this is probably have, you know, happened with you all sometimes where you realize you've read something. It's like you've read something, you know, since you're a kid and things like that. But all of a sudden, it's like a fresh revelation of something. It's like, oh, I never saw that before. You know, that's what it's, I mean, there's so much more. There's so much more to know about God. And that's a lifetime pursuit of just getting to know him. Amen. You know, it's just like when you're married, you should never stop on the wedding day and just say, oh, I know you and we're done. No. That is STOPED. You know, if you, I'm helping some marriage counseling. If you think that just by getting married you're done, and that's no, it's a lifetime. Okay, all right. So, right, you get the point, right? Yeah. All right, so Now, so I was, Pastor Jay had asked, you know, us to minister, and I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm, you know, feeding on certain things and getting ready for the advance and praying about next level and things like that. I'm like, all right, so, you know, where should we go? What do you want us to do? And and I was driving home, and it was like a download. So much that I forgot that, oh, I needed to go get some gas. And almost ran out of gas. And I was like, oh, wait, I got to go. Maya texted me, are you okay? I'm like, oh, I forgot I had to go to get gas. So, because if I didn't get gas yesterday, I wouldn't be here today. So I'm thankful I got gas. But yes, he told me specifically of where to go today. And it's one of the facets, one of the characteristics of our Father. And it's something that you're probably very familiar with, but it's something where I think that, you know, this is for everybody. This is for everybody. And I want everybody to go to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. Hallelujah. All right. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the help of your Holy Ghost to help me speak with clarity and boldness. We thank you for utterance. And Father, I just depend on you. Not my will, but your will shall be done in this service. So we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know what? It's always good to talk about who God is. Because the more you speak, the more you talk about it, the more real it is in your life. Okay? Because, and let's just say you don't have an understanding of everything. But, you know, just keep talking about it. Keep speaking about it. It talks about that in Philemon. Did I say it right? Yes, I did. Yes. Yes. But by the communication of your faith, by the communication, actually the fellowship too as well, you know, that's how it becomes effective. By speaking about it, you know, talking about it. And that communication is also translated to fellowship. So, hey, talk about it with somebody else. Amen. Talk about it with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you this. If you find somebody at your job where two or three, that's all you need. I started a new position. And I was praying to God about, you know, give me some, I don't, because I don't know many people there. Yeah, I know some of, but I said, hey, give me somebody there that I can, you know, connect with and you know, because I want to make an impact there. And I kid you not, I think the first day I met a pastor's wife. She working in the library. I'm just saying, and there's more coming, so you know, but I'm just saying, if you get somebody that you can talk to about the word of God, you know, woo, but yeah, all right, I'm not sure why I said that, that might help somebody, but here in Psalms 23, it says in verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, ha, oh my, the Lord is my shepherd, he is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. He watches over me. He protects me. He fends off the wolves and predators. He tells me where I should watch out those valleys. You know, he tells me where to go, where the green pastures are. That's my shepherd. And because I follow him, hey, I will not want. I will not. There will be no lack. And praise God, we got shepherds over us too. Woo! Woo, that works the same thing with our pastors as well. Yeah, if you feed on that word and you receive what they're ministering on, oh, there would be no wants. That's in the office of a pastor, okay? That's out of the flow there. That's your help. That's your help there, having a pastor, okay? If there's some place that you may be lacking, you may be wondering, where is that connection loose with your pastor? Where's that connection loose at with that, with the ministry of that word? Is there something that you got to get tweaked in, get tucked in? I remember one time we were playing, I think it was, I don't know what year it was at the Advance, and we had like just like some kind of static or something in the lines of one of the keyboards. And it was like, you know, probably didn't have to use the Holy Ghost on this one, but we were like, hey, just plug it in and see what happens. It was loose. It was loose. That's all it was. It was a loose connection. So there may be a loose connection somewhere where, you know, that something is not firing right or something like that. So if there's something that you, that you're wanting, something you're missing, take a look at that connection. Okay? Yep. All right. Are you feeding on that word? Okay. All right. And I get challenged with this as well. Okay. You know, we have the blogs that come out. Yep. Oh my goodness. We got YouTube. It's there. Okay. All right. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me down still waters. Whoo. When you follow the leading of your shepherd, you get some good rest. It's not, you know, rough waters, but still peace. There's peace there. There's peace there. And then it says in verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And this is where I wanted to take a look at one aspect of our Father, the God of restoration. The God of restoration. And as actually, I have, I would say probably for at least 2 years or so, I've been wanting to just feed on this, but just haven't got that unction. It's been directed other places, which is okay. Okay. And I was just asking God, okay, what's the minister on for tonight? And this, he's like, that right there. I'm like, really? So when he does that, I'm being obedient.
Yes, sir.
I'm being obedient, but he is the God of restoration.
Amen.
Okay. And if you read that, it says he leads me down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. He restores your soul. He's not only interested in your spirit, man, because he's given you a new spirit, his spirit. Mm-hmm. He's not only interested in healing your body, because by his stripes you were healed. He's also interested in your soul. He's interested in those the mind, the will, and he's interested in those things. That's why we have shepherds also to be the captain of our soul, you know. And so he's interested in those things. That's why it says in 3 John 2, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And God is in the restoring business. He's in the restoring business. And one of the most famous scriptures, you probably know what it is. Most common scripture that's out there. You know, you see it at sports games and things like that, you know. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay? But if you keep going, and actually I wasn't planning on going there yet, but if you keep reading there in John, I'm going to go there real quick. Sorry, I didn't have this in front of me, but I want to make sure I said right, because people know, they quote scriptures. They quote scriptures. They know of, but they don't know him. And we want to get to the place of knowing of, but knowing him. So people know the scripture. They know John 3:16. They know of that he did this, but they don't know him. And so, and they miss out on a lot of other characteristics of our Father. So it says, and that was John 3:16. But check this out. It says in John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Okay. But that the world through him might be saved. Jesus. Oh, His heart was to build that bridge that connect man back to God. There's no longer separation there. And then it says in verse 18, he that believed on him is not condemned, but he that believed not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So here, if you see here, he did not come to condemn. He came to save. He came to save. He came to save. Okay. One of his job descriptions is to save, to restore. To restore. Okay. And as we dive into this tonight, briefly, you know, I don't want people to think, well, I don't have much to, you know, I haven't really done much, you know, I'm good, you know, I'm looking good. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want you to come from that heart, because, you know, we're spiritual people. We're spiritual people, okay? All right? Go to Galatians chapter 6. I want to make sure we go here. I want to make sure everybody's listening. Because this is for everybody. Okay? This is for everybody here. And I just hear my grandpapa, Dr. Dufresne. And it's interesting with... The amount of power that flowed through him, but the amount of love that flowed through him. He had on his heart restoring ministers. He always said several times, and this is one of his, I know Matthew 6 was one of his favorite scriptures, but he always brought this out here as well. You know, we should not be shooting our own men, our wounded men. And he would, Dr. Dufresne would always ask, where's the compassion? Am I saying it right? Where's the compassion? And this is the compassion of God, where he, you know, to restore. So here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such as one. So, let me keep going. So in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thy also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So I'm encouraging you all, don't come of, you know, thinking I got it all straight, throwing stones or anything. No, no. Come with the heart of restoration. To pray for your brothers and sisters. To lift them up. To get, guide them back to the word and back to their pastors if they help. That's what we are to be doing as spiritual people. That's what the word, did the word say that?
Yes, sir.
That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
Okay. And I tell you what, I got to deal with it myself. You know, sometimes you're like, man, I got to deal with this again. I got to deal with this again. I got to deal with this child again. And then I hear the Holy Ghost saying, restore. And he also reminds me, remember what I did for you. Remember what I did for you. So I don't have a right to throw stones. Okay, so y'all can't throw any tomatoes at me. No rotten lettuce. Nothing. None of that at all today. All right. All right. So God is in the restoration business. Okay, and that's what we're supposed to be doing as well, as ambassadors for Him. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. So I want to go over to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Some may think, well, I haven't done anything major. I haven't robbed a bank. Haven't killed anybody. You know, but actually, you know, and we're about to look at this right here about one son of a father. And yeah, let's just read this first before I say that. So in verse 11 of chapter 15, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And I can only hear or just imagine that the younger son is saying, you know, "Dad, just give it to me right now. I don't want to wait for it. Just, you know, I want it right now. Give it to me right now. Give it to me right now." Okay. And it's interesting because it makes you think that the dad probably knew his sons. Which is probably why he didn't give it to them, you know, at that time. He probably knew that one of them was going to waste it away. He probably knew that the other one was going to get jealous, you know. He probably knew that. But it's interesting, but he loved his son so much that he actually gave him his inheritance. He gave him his inheritance. And, you know, this is talking about money and inheritance and things like that. But I just put it like this as well. And this is one thing you got to watch out for, okay? Because we as Christians have been given an inheritance from Christ. All that we have in Christ, that's our inheritance. So, and this is, he was dealing with me. He's like, man, he's like, you know, how many times have you laid down your love or my love because you got mad at somebody? Talking to me. You know, he was, you know, you like, you walking around like, man, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. You know, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Yep, you gave him a piece of your mind. You look stupid because you gave him your mind, right? And then you gave him your peace too as well. Now, you the one that's, you know, all mad and anxious and things like that. You gave away your inheritance. It's the same thing, like, you know. So he, that's how he brought it down to me. It's like, I got to think about my inheritance that he's given to us in Christ, what he's given to me. Okay. Honor that inheritance. But then in verse 13, it says, "And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country." He left. He went far away. He didn't want to be seen. Interesting, you know. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Okay. So here you saw what he did. Okay. But like I said, you know, we do the same thing with our inheritance of what we do. Okay. So just got to watch out for that. And then, and when he had spent all there was, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He wasted it away. yep. Hallelujah. Listen with the ears of your heart. Listen with the ears of your heart. Yep. Hallelujah. So yeah, he spent it. He spent his inheritance. Okay, and he went to the country. This is verse 15. Okay, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into fields to feed the swine. So here, he went far away, and he got caught into the culture, you could say. He got caught into what people are doing there. He started, and he went to work there. Okay? And then, to the point of this, where in verse 16, and he said, and he would fain, actually, let me read this in Amplified. It'll read a little bit better. This is not the classic Amplified, but it says, he would have gladly eaten the pods that the pigs were eating, but they could not even satisfy his hunger. He got so hungry, he was eating what the pigs were eating, and it didn't satisfy him, and no one was giving him anything to eat. So he came to his senses. He finally came to his senses, okay? And I think when he says he came to his senses, I think he had a change of heart. He had a change of heart. And he says, I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say it to him, I have sinned against heaven. So it seems like, he got his heart right with God, and he was going to get it right with his father as well. And he sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called a son, thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. And so here, he got his heart right. He repented. Okay. And he was going to go back. Now you may think, well, he got a whole speech. Cool. But you know what? I got to give it to him. He was going back to his help. That says something, where you can humble yourself and go back to the place that, you know, that will help you. Mm-hmm. And, so here he humbled himself. He made a change. Okay. And if you see in verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet far, a great way off, his father saw him. This is God. He is looking. He's looking for his man or woman, his son or daughter. He's saying, and that's the heart of the father. He's not sitting back and just, you know, well, he's gone. Forget you. Praise God, I'm not God, because sometimes I want to say that. So, but he said, no. He says, I am searching. I'm looking. That's the heart of the Father. He's looking over here. He's like, is he over there? Where is he at? Is he coming back? That's what God is saying. He's looking for his man. You know, he's looking for him to come back home. Yeah, you made a mistake, but come back home. Come back home. Come back home. That's what the Father is saying. Yeah, you made a mistake. You made a mistake, something with finances or whatever. You know what? Just come back home. Come back home. You made a mistake, you know, got an argument with somebody. Okay, that's fine. Come back home. Come back home. Come back. You made a bad decision with something. That's fine. Just come back home. God is looking for you. His heart is to restore. His heart is to restore. That's the love that he has for you. He was a great way off, and the Father saw him and had compassion. There's that compassion. There's that love. And this is another one. This is, he didn't come up and say, he didn't walk. He ran. He's like, that's my son. That's my son. That's my son. That was the expectation there. Yes, I got him back now. Yes, I got my daughter. Yes. And he says, you know, and he fell and ran and hugged him, kissed him, just as he never left. And the son was about to give his speech and say, hey, Father, you know, he was going to repent. And he was going to say, you know what, I'll just work for you. And Dad said, you know what, don't even stop talking. Stop. I don't care about that. I got my son here. I got my daughter back. And he said, And then it said here, you know, he told his servants, bring the best robe. Bring the best clothes. Bring the best threads, the best drip. Bring it, you know. Y'all like, what? Drip, huh? That means you dress well, you know. If you don't understand that, ask somebody next level, okay? All right, no. But he brought the best. Have you considered, in the midst of our mess that we might have had, God did not, he did not say, I'm just going to give a little bit. He gave his very best. He did not withhold any good thing. He gave his very best, his son. And he put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet as well. So God is in the restoration business. Now, you may be saying, well, that's great, you know. I wish every time, you know, say there's a mistake or something like that, and, you know, got restored. Yes. Yes, the credit card company, they'll give me the finest linens every time I make a mistake, you know, because they're going to restore me, right? Yes, they're not going to come and, you know, give you, you know, their best rings or anything. You know, you might have made a mistake at your job or whatever. Your boss is, you know, he's not going to, you know, give him the ring off your finger. Hey, let me give you this employee, you know. No, he's you know, he may. But, you know, most cases, they're probably not. But it doesn't mean that there's restoration does not occur, even though you may not see something manifested right then and there. Perfect example. I know you're asking this. Yes, I'm going to answer that question. Yes. Thank you for asking. Reverend Richard Roberts. I'm sorry. I was thinking about Reverend Randall Greer, actually. He went to jail. Now, he got his heart right. And he received God's mercy in jail. Because he wasn't released immediately. Now that's faith right there. To receive that, even in the midst of that you know, yes, he's still in jail, but he knew he's been forgiven, and he had faith that he's going to be released. I think didn't they decrease the parole or something, or shorten it his time that was there. I don't know the exact timing of it. So, but. But bottom line is that he was in jail. He made some mistakes. He's talked about it before. He made some mistakes. Mm-hmm. God restored him. He had to have faith that God restored him before he got fully out. He had to have faith for that. And so your restoration process, you know, it may manifest in different ways. It may come in mercy. It may come in favor. It may come in, like, you know, a miracle, you know. So if you go to, actually, go, let's go back to Psalms 23. This is just where he had said to go tonight. Okay. The God of restoration. All right, I got to find where Psalms is in my Bible. Here we go. Psalms 23. So you can see this, okay? And I'm just being obedient to what he said. But in verse 3, as we saw earlier, it says, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, Now, let's take a look at this scripture. Let's break this down a little bit, okay? So it says, he restores my soul. He's leading me down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Who's doing the leading? Who's he? God is doing the leading. God's doing the leading. All right, then let him lead. I know, it's just like simple, right? You know, just, y'all were looking for something special. Come on, I'm just a city boy, you know. I'm just reading it as it said, you know. He says, he restores. He leads. Let him lead. Let him lead. Now, if you're going to let them lead, you know, in order for somebody to be the leader, what has to be there? You got to have a follower. All right, let them lead, you be the follower. Man, we can close the service tonight. Let them lead. Okay? What did God tell you to do? What did he tell you to do? Because your leading process may be different for, you know, between somebody else's. That's right. Like, that's what I'm saying with that story there. You know, what you saw with his leading may be different than somebody else's leading. Okay? It may be a leading that says, all right, call that company. Let's say you made a mistake and forgot to pay something or whatever. Call that company. Humble yourself. Okay? That's a leading. And you're like, well, man, nothing's going to happen, you know. But he said, no, call him. Call him. That's your leading. He's leading you. He's leading you. It may come through some wisdom. And here's a perfect example. God is teaching us about how to set money aside, be more wiser and things like that. So we're learning some things. And we did that starting this year for our vacation. And, but there's a portion where it's like, before, you know, in between this and that, where it gets a little tight. And, we got some wisdom from someone and they're like, you know what? If you know this comes every year, why don't you start at the beginning of the year? Right. Duh. That was a leading. Now, it came through somebody because you know what? God can help you, through somebody else. God can use other men and women as vessels for him to speak to you. Okay? But so that's the question. What did he say for you to do? So your leadings may come in some wisdom. It may come in some correction. It may come in direction. So it may come in different forms, but what is he saying to you? Let him lead you. Okay, let him lead you. And in order to lead, in order to be a leader, be a follower, be a good follower. Did you know what a disciple mean? The follower of Christ. That's what we are. That's what we are. Just follow. Just follow. Pastor Jay said this, I think last. Oh my gosh. Okay, no. Miss Ann ministered last Wednesday. Yes. And by the way, she just knocked it out. I'm you know, I'm like, man, this is like some tough shoes to follow now, you know, after Miss Ann. So, but Pastor Jay said this. He said, you know, and I think he said this in the blog as well. A good minister will not only minister God's promise, but also man's responsibility. God will do his part, but he's waiting on men to do their part. Okay? God will make it worth your while to meet the conditions of his word. So there's a part that we have to take within this restoration process. God restores us, but you know what? It wasn't just for us to stay there and not change our mentality of certain things. Okay, I'm going somewhere here. There's a responsibility that we have to do as men and women for the true restoration process to actually fully take effect. or have some type of efficiency in our life. Because, and if you keep reading that scripture there, it says, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths. Say paths. Now, if there's a path, that means you got to walk down it, right? Who's doing the walking? Who's leading? Who's following? Y'all smart. Y'all pretty smart. Y'all getting this. So as you are, as he's leading you, you got to walk. You got to do something. You got to walk. You have a part to do it. You have a part to play. Because that, with that leading, make it, like I said, it may come with correction, may come with direction, instruction, wisdom. And it's not for you just to sit on, oh, that's good. That's good word. Yeah, that's good. No. It's intended for you actually to take it and do it. And do something with it. We talked about, hey, you know, he's the restorer of your soul, right? And your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Okay? The thing about this is that with the mind, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to renew our minds. Okay? And pastors have taught this. A renewed mind isn't until there's a change of mentality. So if we're doing the same things, we haven't fully renewed our minds. That's part of that restoration process. That's part of walking it out. We have to take that time to renew our minds with the truths or whatever that is in that area. You know, like for us, we're renewing our minds with certain changes, certain things with our finances to make sure that, hey, okay, we're going to do this. You know, because I tell you what, when he told us to start putting some things aside for vacation, I'm like, oh, man, this is great. Why didn't we start doing this before? I didn't renew my mind to it. So when you're restoring, part of that restoration process is you got to renew your mind. You got to renew your mind. Okay, that's how transformation comes. Transformation comes by renewing your mind. Change comes by renewing your mind. Restoration comes, true restoration comes by renewing your mind. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yep. It's funny. It's like, you know, GPS, you know, when you're driving. And I think we were going somewhere in Oklahoma or something like that. I was like, I think we're supposed to go here, and you know, and it was the wrong one, because GPS was, I got confused, I guess, with it, and we ended up having to drive around for another, 10 miles or something like that, I think, and you know, you hear the GPS saying, recalculating, you know. And we don't want to be driving around here recalculating. You know, we shouldn't be walking around in our lives recalculating, you know. I want to see somebody develop, this is a witty idea, you know, a GPS that has like, a voice of a woman that has an attitude or something like that. Now, I told you, go this way. Didn't you hear me what I said? Did I stutter? I told you. I'm just saying, that would be a hit if somebody, I don't know. I mean, they got voices and stuff, you know. There's one that even have, like, one for Cookie Monster. Did you know that? Yeah, Cookie Monster. Yeah. It's like, turn lights. You know, you know, you've arrived. Ha, ha, ha. Now cookies. Nom, 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 nom. You know. So, but I'm like, man, if they had one with a woman, it's just like, you know. I'm just saying, you know. I told you to turn up. Don't make me take out my earrings. All right. All right. So. So. Once again, she didn't proofread my sermon, so you know. So we're not supposed to have lives that are just going around in circles where it's like recalculating. No, let's get good at listening to what he's telling us to do. And that restoration, if you want, it's like, it's like a train. Let's say, a train has a lot of momentum, when it's going, when it keeps, when it's going. And let's just say you got this certain situation where it's just traveling, just like a freight liner, just, and it's like, man, how do I get this thing to stop? This is where you have to tap into your Father, the God of restoration, because, with like train tracks, if you want to change the direction, all you have to do is have a whatever conductor, whatever, or whoever it is, the engineer, pull a lever. Instead of going this way, you have now gone this way. All it takes is one little switch. One little switch. One little adjustment. But you got to follow those tracks. Got to follow the leading of that tracks there to go that way instead of going the way it is going. And there's, this is the how rich and the how full God, God's mercy is. He is the Father of mercy. Because there is nothing too hard for him. There is nothing too hard for him. Nothing. All it takes is one switch. Mm-hmm. So, there may be some paths that you have to take. It may look like wisdom. It may look like you got to put on some forgiveness. Yeah. It may look like you got to, you need to humble yourself. Yeah. You may, along those paths may be yield signs to say, you need to put on some joy. There may be some yield signs that says, you need to cast your care. There may be some yield signs that says, you need to fill yourself up by being filled by praying in the Holy Ghost. There's some yield signs along those paths that's giving us some signs to do something. And we got to yield to those things and do it and act upon those things. Those things are helping us to restore. Hey, it talks about in Ephesians that he is the redeemer of time. So when you follow those yield signs, when you walk down and you follow the leading of the God that restores us, hey, you're going to have time redeemed for you. He is the redeemer of time. That's a part of that package of your the God that restores, your Father that restores. I like to say Father because it's more personal. I'm not saying God is not, but yes, but just, because he's my daddy.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Because if there's an issue, sometimes you got to go back, talk to daddy.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's what the son did.
Yes, sir.
That's what the son did. That's what the son did. So it may require to put on some joy. It may require to yield to dance, so along those paths, that's why I say paths, okay, paths. He leads me down the path of righteousness, right standing. There is right standing, places of right standing on those paths. When you follow that path of righteousness, then you are on the path of right standing. Yeah. And that's a gift that is on those paths for you. Just receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read this here. This is some of the download that he gave me while I was driving. Thank praise. I didn't get in an accident or no. I just need to get some gas though. But don't run away from the restoration process. Whenever you are restoring something, something has to be removed. I'm just thinking about with Mr. Thomas. He restored cars, Frankenstein, and then he did, put block engines here and this like that, and like, oh, I like these chairs, I put that in there, whatever, you know. But if he, if you're restoring something, okay, let's just say you got something from the junkyard or whatever, and you're like, oh, this is cool, this is a chassis of something, I want to restore this, and you got to remove some things, right? You got to remove some things. And but to finish the job, to keep it going, not only do you remove it, but you got to put something else there, right? You got to put something else there. So whenever you are restoring something, you got to put the word back in there. Okay? Don't just leave it, empty, just bare. Put something there. What does the word say about it? What does the word say about it? Something has to be put back in place to make it new or to make it of value again. Or to even give it more value than what it had before. This is what Jesus did for us. Removed that old man. That new man came in, and new value. New value. This is where the renewing of the mind comes in. And this is why such fellowship with your Father helps put things back in order. It helps put things back in place. This is why we have pastors and other ministers and other fivefold ministry office to help render fit, to make things, put it back in its proper place. All to put things back in proper order. Now, I'm going to say this. Restoration sometimes hurts. Sometimes it may not be comfortable. We got some direction about a particular thing that we were involved in. And the direction was, you need to probably say, we can't continue with this anymore. And on the flesh, it wasn't that easy. But we knew this was our answer. So we had to, with gulp and fear and trembling, say, hey, we need to step out of this. We need to, take care of this. And praise God, because of being obedient to that wisdom, things have been restored. Things have been restored. Okay? But sometimes with restoration, it hurts because you got to remove certain things. It's like, you're restoring that old coffee table or whatever, you got that, trying to sand it down. It hurts. I mean, that table, it hurts because you're doing that, But that's the part of restoring it. That's the part of restoring it. Oh, and yes, it may hurt, but you know what? Oh, once it's all done and complete, oh, how sweet it is. How sweet it is. Look at that mighty work of art. Look at how beautiful that is. Look at how beautiful that restoration is. Look at this. This is like brand new. Brand new. Restoration comes with removing, renewing, correction, direction, instruction, inspiration, and impartations. These are things that protect your life. It's protection. It's protection. So if you keep reading Psalms 23, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." I tell you what, along these paths, you have his goodness and his mercy. Praise God, you have his goodness and his mercy. He is that merciful that he forgave you and he allowed you to partake in his goodness. He still says, you know what? You receive me and I am calling you to be holy and blameless. You are in my love. You get access to my goodness and my mercy, and they will follow you for all the days of your life. All the days of your lives. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, which is so important of why you got to, this is why you got to have a church. That's why you got a church. This is why you got a church. It's where you can see the mercy. It's where you can see the goodness. That's where you can see the mercy and the goodness. Now, I'm going to end with this. All right. Now, I can't say I know what everybody's, how things will be restored, but I'll say this. Go over to Philippians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You know, when you make the change, when you change your heart, and also you do what he's telling you to do, you see the results of it. You see the results of it. And in verse 19 here, chapter 1, verse 19, he says, this is Paul here, okay? And this is one thing that I just encourage him with us, you know, with our family. As we talked about in Galatians chapter 1, or chapter 6 there, you know, restoring each other, praying for each other. Here, Paul was in jail, but he had people praying for him. He had people covering him. And he said here in verse 19, For I know that this shall turn my salvation. This shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. This shall turn my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He knew that this thing will turn. He knew it will turn. You may see something in the front of you right now, and you may be wondering, man, how is this going to turn? How is this going to change? How is this going to do this? You know what? You keep staying with the word. You keep following his leading. You keep following what he says on those paths of righteousness, and that too will turn. That too will turn to your salvation. That too will turn. There is nothing too hard for him. Nothing too hard for him. This is something of which you can take to the bank. You can take by faith. And you say, you know what? You may have like Pastor Nancy. She had all those bills. And she's like, she went to do her nails. She went to do her nail, did her nail, whatever that looks like. I don't know. But she went to do her nails. She did her nails. Because she knew this too will turn. This too shall turn. And your situation, whatever it may be, it too shall turn. It shall turn. It will turn to your salvation. And it is all available for you on those paths of righteousness. Ah, that is your God of restoration. That's your Father. That is his heart to restore that what was lost. That is his heart. He is the Redeemer. He paid the price for it all. Everything's taken care of. He paid the bill for it. Everything, whatever is needed for it, it's all taken care of. It was on the cross. He's done it. He's redeemed you. The bond has been paid for. It's been restored. So whatever that is, this too shall turn. This too shall turn. This too shall turn. This too shall turn. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Father. The God of restoration. Hallelujah. That's his love. That's his love. That's his love. Hallelujah. All right. With all eyes closed, please. Hallelujah. Father, we just come to you right now, just thanking you, Father, for your word. And I just want to say here, for those that may be here, that may say, you know what, this is going on, that's going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is your opportunity to just say, Father, forgive me. I receive of your love and your mercy and your forgiveness. I know that you are my restorer. And I give it all to you. So I lay down myself humbly at your feet. And I receive of your wisdom and your guidance. Hallelujah. So if there's anyone or anyone that needs to get something straight, this is your opportunity. I'm not putting anybody, you know, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody or anything like that. This is between you and the Father. And we say, Father, for those that are committing their prayers to you, Father, we thank you for your mercy for them, for all of us. And we thank you, Father, for your wisdom. We thank you for your direction. It is your love. And we receive of it. So, Father, I just say right now that our eyes of our understanding are enlightened. Open up our eyes so we can see what do we need to do. What are you telling us to do? Ask for that, for your wisdom and your revelation. What do I need to learn? And we thank you, Father, Lord. We thank you for your help. We thank you for your help. And I'm going to open this up here as well. If there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus and doesn't know who you are, and you may be wondering, man, you know, I know that love is there. I know that mercy is there, and I want that. This is your time, your opportunity to receive of that. He didn't say, come perfect. He just said, come as you are. He said, I have love and mercy for you. And my arms are wide open for you. So if there is someone here today that may not know Jesus and you want to receive him into your heart to partake in the goodness and his mercy. With all eyes closed, heads bowed. If you'd be bold enough, just raise your hand. If you are if you want that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your love as you just loved on us. Thank you for your help. Thank you for not holding back your best for us. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Why don't we just stand up, just worship him for a little bit. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just thank him. Thank you, Father, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Father, Lord. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Yes, yes. We thank you, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Ah, yes. Yeah, thank you, Father. You know, one of the things that helps with that restoration is gratitude. I'm just reminded of the lepers. 10 lepers. Only one came back. And he came back with gratitude. And Jesus said, you're not only healed, but you've been made whole. That's complete restoration. So having a heart of gratitude is so important. It's so important to help with that. It's like to seal the deal. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Father, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father, Lord. Thank you, Father, Lord. Hallelujah. Do you have anything? Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Father. It's Pastor Debbie.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. We worship you. We glorify you. We magnify and adore you. You're the restorer of my soul. You're the one who made me whole. We glorify and worship you. We lift our hands to you. We praise and worship you too. We thank you, Lord, for making us whole. Your eyes run to and fro, looking for me to make me whole. We worship you. We glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You made me whole. first I knew not what to do, but your love pulled me through. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. We worship you. We worship you.
Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for making us whole. Thank you, Father, for restoring my soul. Ha! Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That gratitude is faith. That is what keeps your faith active. In whatever situation it is, have that attitude of gratitude. That's going to help you through. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you all. I got some help. Hallelujah. 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 Take this with you all. Take this with you all. Take this with you all. Praise God.